This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger. So America, men, women, boys, and girls, let's hear God's message. Please open your King James Bibles to Psalm 132. Psalm 132, verse 12, where we left off last time. Psalm 132, verse 12. This psalm is in a series of 15 psalms, which are called the Song of Degrees. And of course, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, wrote all of the Bible, but it's written by in man's hand by Hezekiah. Now, there's a pattern in these Song of Degrees. There are 15 of them. And the psalmist will, in one psalm, be in great distress, just like you, right? Then he'll trust in the Lord, and then he gets deliverance. But it starts all over. It's a lesson in your flesh life. You have trouble, so you get in distress. But then you open the Word of God, and you read it, and you believe it, and you pray it back to God, and you wait for him to do it, and then you get delivered. But because the devil is the prince of the power of the air, then it starts all over again. Now, when we came last time to Psalm 132, we have three more of these psalms in the Song of Degrees series, 132, 133, 134. These all merge into one title called Blessings. Now, there will come the time, if you endure to the end, if you do not fall off to the soon coming, pretend to be Christ, Antichrist, spurious Messiah, fake one, and if you have eternal life, it will no more be this cycle, but it'll be blessings, blessings, blessings. Hallelujah. Now, the title of 132 is Blessings for the House of Yahweh, Yahweh being the sacred name of God, blessings for the house of God. Now, King Hezekiah had reopened the house of God, and he was asking for blessings there as he reopened it and celebrated Passover. And he had no son, no heir to the throne, and he was of the tribe of Judah, of the lineage of David, and he reminded God last time that God had promised David that there would always be someone to sit on the throne of David until Jesus would come and sit on it forever. And we traced that back, and finally we found that God did give Hezekiah a son, Manasseh, in the third year of the 15 years God added to his life. And then we found that there was the last king of Judah, Zedekiah, and he was captured by the Babylonians. His eyes were gouged out, his four sons killed. He was led off to die. But we found in the Bible that the prophet Jeremiah found out that Zedekiah, king of Judah, the king line, had three daughters. And Ezekiel calls them the three tender twigs. And Jeremiah took them to the British Isles and married them into the royal family. And as you can see by the news, the royal family continues. The Bible says that the next one to sit on that throne will be he whose right it is to come, which shows us how close we are to the second coming of Jesus, meaning Jesus. Now that is what verse 12 is about to tell us, and we'll listen to that. That is saying that there would be someone from David's lineage, on through Hezekiah, on through Zedekiah, on through the tender twigs, on through Queen Elizabeth, to sit on the throne forever.
12, if thy children shall keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore.
And isn't it interesting that today, as I would be teaching this, that the throne has a new baby. So see, God is keeping his promise. Now, it does say that it's so close to Jesus that Jesus will come back and sit on that throne before all of those get to sit on it. Thank the Lord. Okay, now we're talking about blessings for the house of God. Anytime there is a place that is really Bethel, house of God, where the sermon is the word of God, where the Holy Spirit is there, and when the shepherd, the under-shepherd called by God, the man or woman, is anointed and sincere, the very place is blessed. But you are the house of God. You're the temple of the living God. And so there are blessings for you. Now he's going to talk about God's house being blessed, the real God, where God's going to live.
13, for the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation.
In Ezekiel 16, God the Father spread his skirt over Jerusalem. It's a figure of speech, meaning he spiritually married her. Men wore skirts in Bible times, and the marriage was consummated when the man put his skirt over the woman. So God fell in love with Jerusalem, and God said there in Ezekiel 16, I am going to live here forever and ever. And Revelation 21 tells us at the end of the millennium, the 1,000 years reign with Jesus right here on earth and the Zadok teaching, that then God the Father is going to bring the heavenly Jerusalem, which Jesus is building right now, bring it down to planet earth and sit it here, and God's going to come and dwell with us. Earth restored, paradise restored. Hallelujah.
14, this is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. 15, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread.
Now, poor means humble and teachable. Now he's talking about the eternity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit will reign in Jerusalem. They are the temple, they are the light, and we all have our little places. But everybody will be well fed. Now, right now in your physical body, you have to eat food just about every day to keep yourself going. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to be fed with the Word of God, and Jesus is the living Word. Isaiah says, the Word shall cover the earth as the waters that cover the sea. So you see, all of the studying that you do of the Word of God, this in-depth studying that we do on Trumpet of Truth, it is never in vain, because this is your eternal food forever. We'll be well fed.
16, I will also clothe her priest with salvation.
The word salvation here in the Hebrew means liberty. And the priests are the Zadok. That would be the elect chosen from before the foundation of the earth, who will be around Jesus right here on planet earth and will be teaching that discipline, teaching with Jesus during the 1,000 years. It says that the Zadok will have liberty. In Ezekiel chapter on from 40 on to the end there, it talks about that millennium time and the future. And it says the priest, the Zadok, the elect, the overcomers, those who overcome, will have liberty to go to father, mother, brother, sister that hath no husband, and help them to understand, and then go to Jesus and ask them for salvation. They are not two chances, because this is your second chance, this one time in the flesh. If you know that Jesus died and paid your sin debts and arose from the dead, and you've not repented, not accepting, you're sorry, too late, Charlie. But then God is going to give that free liberty to the Zadok, will be at liberty.
And your saints shall shout aloud for joy.
The saints, set aside ones, the elect, the overcomers, who will be the teachers. Why will we shout for joy? Because the Bible says in the presence of God there is fullness of joy. But see, Jesus will be right there with us, so all we do is shout. But I say to you, Jesus is right here. All of you out there in cyberspace, airland tapes, in here, the power of God is here. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So why do you have a long face? Why is your heart heavy? Oh, for heaven's sakes, get up and shout. Hallelujah. Shout for joy in Jesus' mighty name. Glory, hallelujah. The Savior is in the house.
17, there will I make the horn of David to bud.
Horn means power, and bud means the Son. That will be Jesus Christ. He will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed.
lamp is light, that is Jesus. It says we're not going to need the sun, the moon, the lamb is the light thereof. And anointed is what Christ's names mean, the anointed one. He'll be the light of the world.
King, his enemies will I clothe with shame.
All who have rejected him will be so ashamed and bow their heads at the end of the millennium as they walk into the lake of fire, which comes into existence then. Poof! Into the smoke they shall consume away. They shall consume away, says Psalm 37.
But upon himself shall his crown flourish.
Crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so there's blessings for the house. You're the house of God. Blessings for you.
Psalm 133, a Psalm of Degrees of David.
Now, this is Psalm 133, still under the merging title of blessings, but this is blessings in the house. Now, you saw this house that we're in of God, and you know this place is blessed. But when you walked in the door, you knew you were on holy ground. The power of God is in this room, and you're blessed in here. You're going to get encouragement. You're going to be fed the word of God. You're going to lose your burdens. You're going to get healed. You're going to get alive again. You're going to get blessed. There are blessings in the house of God. Hallelujah.
Verse 1. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Now he's talking about the many-membered body of Christ. John 17, Jesus prayed that they may be one as we are one. Paul says, have no schisms in the church. Schisms means denominations. And we're studying Acts now on Wednesday night. It said they all were with one accord. I always make up a poem and say, one accord, no discord, Jesus is Lord. Paul says, fitly joined together. See, we're many-membered body of the Christ. See, when one of you gets a bad attitude, it hurts the rest of us. You know how if your toe hurts, the rest of the body's out of joint? You see, each of us, we ought to. When you hurt, I hurt. I really do that. Now, there's something wrong with you. Are you a member of the body of Christ? If you don't know when something, you actually feel it. Doesn't matter where they are. You can feel it. People with whom you're connected, because we all have our place. And so we're all one. And I love what he says here. He says, behold, in the manuscripts, when it just says, behold, the Holy Spirit is speaking. When it says, yea, behold, God the Father is speaking. When it says, verily, behold, God the Son is speaking. So we ought to be fitly joined together. In other words, any time that you hurt another member of the body of Christ, all you've done is hurt yourself.
Two, it is like the precious ornament upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment.
Leviticus 8, it tells us that God instructed Moses to take the anointing oil, olive oil, all of our people, and pour it on the head of Aaron to anoint him as high priest. And it went into his beard, and then the oil went all the way down upon his garments. Now, here is what it means. Christ means the anointed one. So Jesus is our head. So what he's saying here is that Jesus, the head, chooses a man, chooses a woman, and puts the anointing on that woman. That's symbolized by the beard. I don't have a beard, but I've got the anointing. Okay. And in other words, he pours it out. In other words, anointing means Christ paints himself on you. And then, remember this is entitled Blessings in the House. Then when you come into the house of the Lord, the anointing that is on that under-shepherd that Christ just poured out his anointing on falls on you. Hey, hallelujah. Be healed. Be made glad. Feel the power of God. Live. Be blessed. So you feel that mentor, that power comes to the mentor, pours out that anointing on you from the beard on down to the rest of the body. You understand that everything you have is to give away, even the anointing.
Three, as the dew of Hermon and as the
One of these was in the south and one of these was in the north. So what he's saying here, it doesn't matter when you go into the house of the Lord and where Christ has anointed the mentor before you, the man or woman, when that anointing goes to you, it doesn't matter if you're from the south or north, whether you're red, yellow, brown, black, or white, that everybody is blessed. The anointing destroys the yoke in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessings in the house.
Amen.
For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore.
Now, we found out that God is going to bring the heavenly Jerusalem down and live here on planet Earth, Earth rejuvenated for all eternity. And he's going to change the name of Jerusalem. Ezekiel chapter 48, the very last verse, tells us that he's going to call it eternally in the Hebrew, Yahweh Shema. The Lord is there, and he will dwell here, everything restored, paradise, with the saved forever and ever.
Psalm 134, a song of degrees.
Now, this is the last in the section of 15 Song of Degrees by Hezekiah. It's still under the title Blessings, and this is blessings from the house of God. Say, we found that the house of God is blessed, and you're the house of God. You're the temple of the living God. There are blessings in your house, because right now, if you're halfway alive, you must feel the Holy Spirit moving upon you. And when you came in here, you were blessed. But when you go out, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to be prisms of light of truth. You're to take Jesus to the north, the south, the east, and the west, and the truth of God's word. You are not to leave this place and keep what you had. Go and be a blessing from the house of God. Hallelujah.
Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by might stand in the house of the Lord.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 29, God gave all of the priests a special place to be in the house of God. In Revelation chapter 1, Christian, God calls you a king and a priest. Every one of you has a place where you are to assemble. I'm glad to see some of you are finally waking up and let connect. Everybody has a place in the body of Christ. Now, when you're called, where you're called to worship, it doesn't mean that you preach or teach. It might be you need to come and pray. Everybody needs to come and pray or sit in your chair. When you are late, when you are absent, you have hurt the body of Christ, because that's something missing. But the one you've hurt mostly is yourself, because then you're cut off from the body of Christ. So he says everybody has a place. Paul uses the example of the human body. Now just look at the spleen. Does anybody ever ask you, how's your spleen doing? No, nobody ever pays attention to the spleen. But everybody has a place. See, you have a place to assemble, elect, connect. We're the elect here. We're getting ready for the end times. Elect, connect. But through the years, it's been everybody, Gentiles, all, whosoever will may come. It still is, but basically for the elect. And you have a chair, and you have a calling. Now, some of you say, but it's not important that I would come and pray for America. Are you kidding? You're hurting America when you don't join us and pray for it, because you live here. I mean, some of you do. I hear some people are hearing me out there in Chile. Hello, Michael Lark. But you're an American, too. So do you understand that you have a place, and it's very important. It doesn't matter if it's a position or anything. You have a chair to sit in. Your presence is making the body whole. And when you're missing, the body is crooked. Do you see he's coming back for a whole body of Christ? And when you don't do your part, when you're late, when you're unfaithful, when you're not true, when you're not committed, when you don't show up, when you don't care, when you go away, and God bless all of you, I love you, but then you are hurting the body, but you are hurting yourself, because you're a member of the body of Christ. You are delaying your destiny, and all of you want to be where you're supposed to be, don't you? Yes.
Verse 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord.
Well, let's do it. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. That's a command. Now, that's where we get this from, but now you can put them down if you want to. Now, let me explain something. You don't do that because he just told you to, because you ought to. You don't do that because I do that. You do that because when the Holy Spirit touches a true Christian, there's something happens to you, a motor. Jesus says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That Holy Spirit comes flowing through like an electrical current into your hands, and up they go. I surrender all. Praise the Lord. You couldn't help it. When the power of God, more powerful than any electrical current, touches you, up would go your hands. So see, it's not a ritual. It's not something you do because I say do it. It's got to come from within you. Do you understand the love of God has to come from within you? Do you understand? Okay, that's what he means. It really means I surrender all.
Three, the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion.
Hezekiah's favorite phrase as he concludes his 15th song of degrees. Now we know that God answered Hezekiah's prayer, and he gave him a son, Manasseh, as I said a few minutes ago, 3 years into the 15 years that God had added to his life. And so the king line continued, and it continues today. We've just had a new baby on the king line. And the next one to come is Jesus, and he will sit on that forever and ever. God did answer his prayer, the Song of Degrees. Now, we come to Psalm 135 and 136. We'll just go a little bit here in this one. The title of both of these is Praise. Now, we just completed this section, Song of Degrees, and there was a theme. In your flesh life, you have distress, you trust in the Lord, and then he delivers you. But in the Song of Degrees, it starts all over again. You just got out of trouble, here comes some more trouble. You're in distress, you trust in the Lord, and he delivers you. But in the eternity, if you're saved and you have eternal life and overcome the soon coming Antichrist, you have blessings, 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 which is what we just completed. But what are we going to do in the eternity? We're going to praise. So this one is entitled Praise. Do you see that Hezekiah has brought us right on up to the eternity? Now, this one is not one of the 15 Song of Degrees, but Hezekiah. It is believed by scholars that he wrote it. Praise means to revere, to love.
Psalm 135, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord.
Revelation 19:13 says his name is called the Word of God. And John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So his name is called the Word of God. We praise the name of the Lord. We praise the Word of God. Will you do it? We praise the Word of God. Now the word Lord here in capital letters, L-O-R-D, in the Hebrew is the sacred name of God. It is spelled Y-H-V-H and pronounced Yahweh. Now, say you were going to get married and you would say, honey, how do you spell your name? And then how do you pronounce it? You want to get that right because you want to be very intimate with that person. Well, this is a marriage. The elect are the wife and God is the husband from the first earth age where they were chosen, but Jesus is coming back as the bridegroom and the church is the bride. So we want to know how to spell our Father's name. How do we spell it? Y-H-V-H. How do we pronounce it? Yahweh. It is not Jehovah. It is not Yahweh. You won't go to hell for doing, but if you're going to marry him, you might as well spell his name. So we praise you, Lord Yahweh. We praise you, Lord Yahweh.
Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God.
Now, in Hezekiah's time and David's time, in the temple, they had the inner court and they had the outer court. The inner court was where the priest went in there and ministered, and the outer court, the people came and worshiped. But whether they were the inner court or the outer court, everybody was to praise the Lord. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, which I taught not too long ago on the radio, I love that book. It gives us an outline of the future, not only millennium, but heaven on earth. in the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21, which God the Father will bring down on planet Earth, earth rejuvenated, seas restored, all sin gone, everything perfect. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will live in there in the New Jerusalem. And we don't need a temple because they are the temple and they are the light thereof. But right around them will be the priest right there. And in front of that, Ezekiel says, is a layout of all 12 tribes of Israel. Romans 11, I believe it's verse 26, says all Israel shall be saved. And then all over planet Earth, the seas having been covered over, will be areas and allotments for the Gentiles, whosoever will may come. But whether you are in there in Jerusalem as a priest with him, whether you're in the tribe section, whether you're out here in the sections, all will praise the Lord. And everybody's going to have a chance to go up to Jesus and praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Three. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant.
Pleasant means delightful. Now, in the book of Revelation, it says for those of you who overcome, God is going to give you a new stone, and on the stone is a name written that only he knows, and you will recognize it. And I found out what the name is. Isaiah tells us, and her name shall be called Beulah. Her name shall be called Hephzibah, and her land shall be called Beulah. Beulah means married. Okay, well, marriage is coming up, the marriage of the Lamb. And the name Hephzibah means she delighteth me. I delighteth in her. See, he delights in us, and we delight in him. His name is delightful. I remember studying French. D would mean of and light. Of course, Jesus is of the light, so he's of light. He is delightful.
For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure.
In Exodus 19, God said, Israel, if you will hear my voice, and if you will obey my voice, meaning every word of God, Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, the whole mystery there, he said, you will be unto me a peculiar treasure. Want to know what that means when God said in the original manuscripts, a prized possession. Hallelujah. Paul says you are a prized possession. You are peculiar people. It doesn't mean funny, ha-ha. You are prized, one-of-a-kind possession. And we are bought with a prize, the blood of Jesus Christ.
Five, for I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all God.
Our Lord here in the Hebrew is a word you might not have heard. It's Adonim. Now, you've heard of Adonai, which means master. But Adonim is one of the names of God, which means possessor of heaven and earth. It's never used to refer to a man, only of our Father. So we praise you, Adonim, possessor of heaven and earth. We praise you, Adonim, possessor of heaven and earth. You know the word is to do. You don't just hear it, you do it. I'm giving you a little test here.
Six, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth.
Revelation chapter 4 says that you were created to please God. You thought you were created so he could please you. Please ask God to give me this and do this for me and make this happen for me. After all, it's all about, oh, no, we got it wrong, didn't we? We're created to please him. Did you please him this week? Did you show him you love him? Did you go out and put yourself out to win souls to Jesus? Did you witness? Did you even try?
In the seas and all deep places, seven, he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth.
Now, this is interesting. We normally think of vapors as, you know, the waters coming up in a rising mist, but the spiritual meaning of it is exalted. Now, God the Father left heaven and took on the form of a body, a little babe, through a virgin's womb, and was born. But he died, he paid the sin debt, he shed his blood, he arose, and he ascended back to heaven, highly exalted, where he sits at the right hand of God. And he is coming again after the Antichrist comes, and he is going to be exalted forever and ever and ever. What a rising mist, what a vapor. Now, little David was a shepherd boy out on the backside there, just taking care of a few small sheep. That's one of what one of his jealous older brothers said. You just have a few small sheep. Well, he was a man after God's own heart. One thing you do about God, you just stay steady where you are and you persist and God will promote you. And one day he became the most powerful man of God on earth, the king of Israel. Now, when you Christian are delivered up to the Antichrist and you do not fall for him, remember, half the church, the church will worship this devil thinking he's Jesus. Five are wise, five are foolish. That's half and half. And the whole world will go after him, Revelation 13. But those of you who will not bow the knee will be delivered up to the Antichrist. You seem insignificant now. You feel like you're the spleen of the body and nobody's paying attention to you. But you have your place. You are listening now, so you're in your place. Everybody hear the word of God. And when you're delivered up, the Holy Spirit will speak through you and the whole world will hear whatever he speaks through you. And Jesus says, and then the gospel shall be preached to the whole world, and then Jesus shall come. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, from nothing to everything. Your 15 minutes of fame. You got a destiny.
He maketh lightnings for the rain.
Deuteronomy 11, God talks about the rain. He says we need the former rain and we need the latter rain. The former rain softens the soil. So then when you plant the seed, that little seed can germinate and become an embryo. But then it needs the latter rain so it can start shooting up through the soil and grow up tall into a big tree, and fruit will abound on that tree. So see, when you got saved, that first little seed was sown into you and you repented and you confessed and you accepted Jesus as your Savior. But some of you stayed in the soil, an embryo, a baby Christian. Hebrews 5, go to the meat. But you need every word of God. You need the mystery of God. We offer it here. It's free. Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. And what happens? You shoot up and you are a tree of righteousness and you bear fruit. Do you know that Jesus is the vine? He's the word. And you are the branch. If you abide in him, in the word, you could not help but bear fruit. It would come automatically. You never tell an orange tree when you please hurry up and bear some oranges. It knows to do that. It would be automatic. I want you to get it. If you're really abiding in the vine, you would naturally bear fruit. Everywhere you go, there would be an aura about you, and there would be a magnetism about you, and people would be drawn to you. They would see Jesus in you, and you would open your mouth, not because you ought to, but because, like the lifting up of hands, you could not help it. You would bear fruit. You would win souls. You would share the truth.
Amen. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries.
Now, the wind represents the Holy Spirit. The Hebrew pronunciation of Holy Spirit is Holy Ruach. Want to say it? Holy Ruach. And that is his great treasure. What he means here, the Holy Spirit anointing a man or a woman, as he was talking about Aaron's beard, who is speaking the word of God, is a great treasure and produces much fruit. So we have blessings from the house. I pray that this bless you. We'll pick it up right there next time. But right now, it's time for Mystery Moment. Paul tells us to learn the mystery of God. Now, Jesus comes at the last trump. A trump is an action, lights, camera, action. And it's the seventh trump. He does not sneak in and come before then. When Jesus comes, every eye shall see him. But before he comes, there's the sixth trump. Six comes before seven. This will be the Antichrist, the instead of Christ, the fake Christ. He'll call himself Theosanta in the Greek, God's Savior. Well, Jesus is Yahweh's Savior, so he's a fake, and he's coming very soon. Right now, we're in the fifth trumpet. We are in, this is the time of learning, And Joel tells us to blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. So may we hear the fifth trumpet of truth, please. Questions and answers. Dear Sherry Trumpet, what does the word Bible mean? It means Biblion. It means the bark of a linden tree. Biblion, the bark of a linden tree. Next question. What does amen mean? That's that. Truth, truth. God said it. That's that. Dear Sherry, in Revelation 11, it tells us about the two witnesses. When are the two witnesses going to appear on the scene? When you do the math in Revelation 11, it's about 10 days before the Antichrist comes. Now, the devil is coming in the sky, Revelation 12. Michael's going to boot him out, so he's very beautiful with his entourage. So, see, since we're looking for Jesus to come in the sky, the fake one will come like that, so it'll be a deception. But just before he comes, about 10 days, according to Revelation 11, the two witnesses will appear. Now, let me explain something. That does not mean that the two witnesses are not already here on planet Earth. It just means that the world will not be aware of them until about then. Next question, what is the purpose of the two witnesses? Revelation and Zechariah gives a great description. The two witnesses are like two candlesticks. They pump, feed the 7,000 elect alive men and women on planet Earth who will not be deceived by the Antichrist. They feed. They feed the elect. Hallelujah. Next question, what's going to happen to the two witnesses? All right. Now remember, the Antichrist is coming back as the Savior. So all of those movies and books you read about cutting heads off and blowing buildings up, no. Daniel says he's coming in peacefully, prosperously. It's going to be a big revival in the Christian church, except they're going to be reviving to the wrong one. They'll think he's Jesus. I mean, just half of them. Not you, but half of the body of Christ. Five are wise and five are foolish. So he's not coming out back killing people. But these two witnesses are beginning to aggravate everybody. Revelation 13 says the whole world's going after the fake one and half the body of Christ. So these two witnesses are preaching and teaching and feeding the 7,000, and everybody gets disturbed about it. They're aggravated because they're so happy that their Savior is here, except it's the devil in disguise. The Antichrist is the devil with his Jesus costume on. So the devil's going to blow his cool. He's the Antichrist, and he's going to kill them. Revelation says they will lie in the open arena in Jerusalem for all the world to see. And they're going to lie there 3.5 days. Now remember that Jesus says no man knows the day nor the hour when he comes, but he gives us the seasons. We have the seasons. We've got the trumps. We've got the trumps and seals and vials. But once the 3.5 days have passed, then the Bible says that's the seventh trump. Those two witnesses are killed. After 3.5 days, they will begin to arise on their feet. And that's the seventh trump. Jesus will come. So now, those of you who won't be deceived, the world won't know this, but now you can start doing the space shuttle countdown. 3, 2, 1.5. Ta-da! Jesus. Hallelujah. Come, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Okay, next question. What are the seven spirits of God? The answer is in Revelation 7:12. They are prisms of light of the character of God sitting before his throne in heaven. Their names are blessings, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might. Don't ask me to do that again. I memorized it. Next question. Does God confide with anybody about his secrets? Absolutely. Amos 3:7. God does nothing but what he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Hallelujah. I think I've got time for one more question. Did Jesus ever mention the fact that the devil is the father of Cain? Absolutely. John 8, around 40, 44, Jesus says, "You are of your father, the devil." And in Matthew 23, in Matthew 13, 38, Jesus was teaching the parable of the wheat and the tares. And then he begins to explain a parable. When Jesus explains the parable, he's no longer speaking in a figure of speech. And he says, the wheat are the children of the kingdom. The Father planted them. But Jesus says, while men slept, the enemy sowed the wicked seed. The Greek is zawan, bitter, poison. Then Jesus says, the bad seed, the tares, are the children of the wicked one. He's explaining it now. He's talking about wah, 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 ma, 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 pa, pa, babies. You understand? Children of the wicked one. Then Jesus says, the enemy that sowed them, the bad seed, the tares, is the devil. He was explaining it. So that's real children, sowed sperma like a man sows and has a baby. And of course, they are the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, the offspring of Cain, and Cain being the child of the devil. When the devil, who is low down like a snake, seduced Eve, Paul says, beguiled, exopatio, and Cain was the result. Now, in a few moments, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. I want to invite all of you out there in airland, cyberspace, to come on Sunday, 5 p.m. here at my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida. Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Sunday, 5 p.m., Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. We have one book at a time, chapter, verse, line by line. And each time we pray on Wednesday night, we fall on our faces and pray fervently for America according to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Now, some of you need your place. You're an American. You ought to be here. This is your country. Do you know we're in the Babylonian captivity? Have you even been aware of that? We are. So wake up and come and fight. Come and fight with us. Now, for those of you who are sick, and by the way, I'm getting all of your calls, the prayers for healing. I'm getting that. I'm praying for each one of you by name every day, so keep calling, and my announcer will give you that number. Now, for those of you who are sick, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask now that Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. Wherever there is pain, pain be gone in the name and the power of Jesus. Cancer, fibromyalgia, arthritis be gone in Jesus' name. Traumatized emotions stop. Peace be still. Bones be made strong. Bladders, kidneys be healed. No overaction, no inaction. Oh, he sent his word and healed you. Son of Righteousness, oh, healing virtue of Jesus flowing out. Hallelujah. Deaf ears are being opened. Blind eyes are seeing. Cancers are gone. Rise. Take up your bed. Walk and live in the name and the power of Jesus. Now, you might like to call me and tell me that you were healed. The greatest kind of healing is salvation. I do ask, Father, now that the Holy Spirit will convict anyone who's lost of sin. And I ask that you would draw them to call on the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved. So if you are not saved or even not sure, please pray this prayer with me. And you can come and live with me in the New Jerusalem. And are we going to have fun loving and praising our wonderful God, Yahweh, forever in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I ask forgiveness for my sins.
I ask forgiveness for my sins.
I repent.
I repent.
I believe that Jesus is the Lord.
I believe that Jesus is the Lord.
I believe that Jesus died and shed his blood.
I believe that Jesus died and shed his blood
for my sins.
For my sins.
I believe God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe God raised Jesus from the dead.
Save me, Lord.
Save me, Lord.
Cleanse me, Lord.
Cleanse me, Lord.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me into a fruit-bearing tree.
Grow me into a fruit-bearing tree.
Teach me your word.
Teach me your word.
Use me.
Use me.
To enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty
amen.
Name.
Amen. Now, the Bible says with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So when you call me, you might also like to tell me that you have been saved. You might like to also call and tell me, and many of you are, and I do thank you, that these programs are being a blessing to you. We are doing this for the glory of God. And in a moment, I'm going to play the piano. It'll be the last measure of the Our Father. And you know, the words are, for thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. So for any fruit, Father, in Jesus' name, that you have produced through this thine handmaiden, through this program, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Oh, Father God, accept what we have just done as a blessing of love to you. Thank you, Father. Bless the people. Revive the people. Awaken the body of Christ. Grow your church into the full measure and stature of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Now, remember this. When you think of Yeshua, Jesus, his name is called the Word of God. I love you. God richly bless you. And God willing, I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Direction, something to believe in, and I